All right, if you would please turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. This morning, Libby asked me some questions about my role as one of the elders here. And one of the questions she asked me was, what's your favorite scripture? And I told her, I said, well, if you come tonight, you'll find out. And it's really not a single scripture, but it is the book of Colossians chapter 3. It's kind of my favorite chapter. Thank you, Mo, very much. I appreciate it. In the Bible. And the lesson's really not titled The Basics for Living in Christ. The lesson is really titled Seek, Set, Put, Let, Do. All right, everybody got that? Seek, Set, Put, Let, Do. It's really simple to remember. And I know all these young people right here and the Trudeau young people, they will remember this for a long, long time because this was talked about long ago at a congregation we attended, and all of the young people, all of them, snapped to those words very, very quickly. And there's some good reminders in here for all of us, us old people too. So it's seek, set, put, let, do. All right? And we're going to examine those words in the book of Colossians chapter 3 a little bit. And this is going to probably be a two-part lesson this evening. We'll do the seek, set, put, I think, tonight. Seek, set, put, tonight. The next time we'll do put, let, do. But we'll kind of overview the whole thing for you tonight. Then you'll have to come back the next time I'm in front of you. And we'll talk about the second half of Colossians chapter 3. Let's read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And you'll see these words along the way. And I have them in the verses. I have the verses noted below where these words appear. In your translations, they may be slightly different, but they'll get across the same point. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. And in verse 12, and so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. There's probably one put that I didn't have on my sheet you could maybe pick up. But you'll have fun trying to find all the puts that we'll talk about here. But they'll come true as we go along these verses. So let's talk about some of the attributes that we find in this particular set of Scripture. Because it's a very encouraging set on one hand, but it's also a very challenging set on the other. It has a section of put-offs in the first part of those Scriptures, up through verse 8. Then it has a set of put-ons kind of in the back half. So we'll be talking about both of those dimensions. And tonight we'll get through the put-offs for the most part. And we'll talk about the put-ons next time. But if you talk about the put-on and the put-off, we also have that same challenge as Christians. We're asked to put off things out of our lives, get rid of sin, get rid of impurities, these things in our lives. And we're asked to put on these things we talk about here in the Scripture. I used to have an old truck, and rust is not so common where I hail from, but it's more common up here, as I've come to understand, on cars. And I had a 1987 Ford Ranger truck, and it's kind of getting beat up and old, and so I took it in to get painted by a guy named Chad. And it had lived in Colorado for a period of time with my brother, and it had made its way back to Texas with me. So it had been in some of the difficult conditions. And I took it to Chad, and I said, "Hey, Chad, I got to get this truck repainted. I want it nice, blue like it was." And he said, "I'll take care of it. No problem, Mr. Craig. Got it. No problem. But there's a little rust here, Chad. Make sure you get rid of that rust. There's a little bit of rust right over there. Make sure you get rid of that rust." "Oh, I got it. Well, Chad probably wasn't the best at getting rid of the rust. And you probably know the rest of the story, right? He paints the truck, he gets rid of the rust, but 2 years later, guess what? It's bubbling back out again, and there it is. So in all of his efforts, and we have that same dilemma, right? In all of his efforts to get rid of the old, he did his best, but he didn't quite get rid of all of it. And I was left, at the end of the day, with a truck that I really liked and really cherished, but it wasn't new. It wasn't back to where it was in the beginning. And so I was disappointed with that. And I try to relate that to my own life as a Christian. Maybe you can relate that to your own life as a Christian, this whole notion of on and off, on and off. But this set of scriptures starts in a real positive way. It talks about seeking the heavenly. In verse number 1, it gets right to it. "If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." So how do we do that? And what is in it for us? By seeking the heavenly, what's in it? If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 through 31, it reads, Deuteronomy chapter 4, 29 through 31, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. You will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice. For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers which he swore to them." So as we see here in these scriptures, if we seek the heavenly and we return to God, we will observe and get God's compassion. We all know in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, again, one of the most famous things that I really like to talk about and study about. Chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. "But again, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So seek, if you seek, you will get his righteousness. And in chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 7, "Seek and you will find through prayer." So all these things are talked about that if you seek the heavenly, you will find. God will provide. You will get his compassion if you seek the heavenly. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians and in Philippians and a lot of his epistles. He talked about this constant pressing ahead, right? I press on to the goal of the upward calling. He talks about it a lot in his epistles. If you read through all the positive nature of what he's talking about, all those churches, he's talking about seeking the heavenly, always seeking the heavenly for the most part in terms of what's available to us if we press towards that. It should be our ambition in life to seek the heavenly. It shouldn't be our ambition necessarily to get a college education. It shouldn't necessarily be our ambition to be president of the United States or president of our class or get a big promotion at work. It should be our ambition to seek the heavenly. And let's always think about doing that if we can. Set your mind. The second one, I find that set your mind in verse number 2. Now, this is kind of interesting because he has this, and Mike talked about it this morning, as a matter of fact. He talked about it in 1 Peter chapter 5. He talked about this positive and negative view about the elders, what they should be doing. And this is sort of the same kind of discussion here. If you look at chapter verse 2, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth." For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. But then verse 5, it changes, and that's what we're going to talk about. Therefore, consider your earthly body as dead to these attributes listed on that slide. I didn't quite have my timing right. You should mortify, I think the King James talked about mortify your earthly members. Maybe these days and time, it's not talked about so much, but those who are maybe a little bit more mature in years would remember that when someone passed away, you took them to the funeral home, but there was the mortuary, there was the mortician, right? And so that whole notion of mortify, mortician, mortuary is the dead. Put away the dead. Take care of the dead. Get rid of the dead. Put to rest the dead. Slay the dead. All of that is what's talked about in verse 5. So I took a little bit of liberty on this set your mind by doing these things. Set your mind by doing the things that are on the slide. By eliminating these earthly sins. And these sins here are pretty much sins of our mind, our drive as humans. We have to be really careful. Men, we have to be really careful of these things. Women, we have to be really careful of these things in terms of how we dress, how we're perceived by others, these kinds of things. Men, we have to be very careful about these things because of the constant attack of the roaring lion that we talked about this morning in Mike's Bible class. We have to be always on the alert because these kinds of sins can take us down very, very quickly. And each of us in our day-to-day lives have a role to play about being free from these things. Being free from these things. We're not going to go through all of these different line items. I think we spend a lot of time on these along the way. But I do believe the sins of the flesh listed here are some that we need to be especially careful about day to day. If you move to verse 8, it talks about putting aside. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. So now these are sins that are more emotional in nature, right? Versus the flesh. So we've got two different kinds of putting away in the first part of this particular chapter. So here we're talking about emotional sins, how we speak to our spouse, how we speak to our children, how we speak to our coworker, how we speak about people, how we speak to people. This is really interesting because there are times when you might say something to someone, and in your mind, it's just maybe the way you speak, your natural tone. But to someone else, it may not be that way. To someone else, it may be I'm verbally attacking you, or I'm acting superior to you, or I'm degrading you. The person offering the words may not mean that at all. But the person receiving the words might think that different. And so I would encourage us all here at Tingsboro in our lives to make sure that our speech to each other, to our fellow Christians, to our fellow man, is seasoned properly, is presented properly, maybe more so presented properly than anything else. And how you approach someone is half the battle. At my job, our fiscal year was just over with at the end of June, and we're spending time now giving everybody their end-of-year performance reviews. And at my company, we talk about six competencies, and we talk to our employees about how the work is accomplished. Not what gets accomplished. We expect the what to get accomplished, but we talk a lot of times about how it gets accomplished against a set of six competencies that we talk about a lot at my company. So we're talking about all the time how the work gets done, not the work itself. And that made me think when I look at these attributes, and my admonition to all of us is this is all about the how. Right? This is all about how we do things, how we speak to people. There have been instances in this congregation that I've come to understand where sometimes the giver of information or the speaker of information and the receiver of that information are in two different places. You know, the receiver may be speaking in their mind with all love and concern, but the receiver of that information may think, wow, that person is being really negative towards me. So I'd ask us to think about that. Please think about that, because it will help us grow stronger, or it could make us fractured. And that's not what we want to be here as a group of Christians at Kingsboro. So that's an admonition. These aren't the kinds of words that I think we normally would use, but it's the idea I'm trying to get across to us here this evening about how we speak to people. And down later in these scriptures, you'll see in verse 12, we have the put on kinds of things in verse 12. We're not going to go there right now, but verse 12 gives us some good coaching as to how we ought to be talking to each other. So we've talked so far about seeking the heavenly. We've talked about setting your mind on things above by eliminating sins of the flesh, by eliminating or putting off or getting rid of these emotional sins. So that's the admonition in the first eight scriptures. But then he begins to turn the tide a little bit in verse 10. And if you pick her up there, it's the middle of a sentence, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So now we have a chance to talk about the first of the put-ons. Seek, set, put, let, do. So we've had a seek, set, we've had a put, and here's another put. Put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all and in all. This notion of renewal. It's to be renovated, to be rehabilitated, to be regenerated. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a good compare. We all know this scripture, I would think. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. If I can find it here. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That inner man renewal. I would tell you, as I age, and maybe those again who are more mature might feel the same way, maybe not, but as I age, it's harder to do the things that I used to do. My father's 87 years old. He's been here a couple of times. I talk to him every week, and he's frustrated because he's 87 years old and he wants to go put the bird feeder in the ground and dig the hole and put the cement in and plant the bird feeder. He can't do that. His outer man is decaying. However, at 87, his inner man is renewal, renewal, renewal every day, every moment. He is a strong student of the Bible. Even at the age of 87, people still seek him out for help and advice. So although his shell looks old and looks decrepit now, and I finally got him walking with a cane, which is a major accomplishment, his inner self is what people are seeking. They don't care that he's 87 or whatever. His inner renewal is what people are after. And we should have that same way of thinking, because our outer self is going to decay. And we should be all about that constant renewal. Constant renewal. Ephesians 4 and verse 24. Let's look at that for a moment. Ephesians 4 and verse 24. Again, it talks about the new self. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We're so blessed to be able to have God as our Father, to be able to seek that perfection that He has laid out in Jesus Christ and for us to strive towards every single day. Ephesians 4:16 talks about the body. And here at Tingsboro, we are a body. And we each have different roles. And we each have different responsibilities. But it is our job to be the part of the body that we need to be to cause renewal in others. You know, sometimes encouragement comes to us different ways. One of the questions today by Libby was, what gives you the greatest joy? It may have been joy, the greatest pleasure of being an elder. And it's a simple answer for me. It was when a person is immersed in baptism is a great thing, because hopefully the efforts that all of us have had might help that person make that step. So that should be a great joy for us. But then our job is to put that person to work in the body of Christ and to help them renew day by day and grow and grow and grow. So I would challenge us all to be thinking about the concept of renewal and how we renew ourselves. It is our duty. It is the thing that we should be always striving for. So tonight we've talked about half of seek, set, put, let do. A high school history teacher preached this at our former congregation. Some of our friends from Houston are here. They would remember it. I would venture to guess their daughter, I'm not sure how old their daughter was at the time, but I guarantee you she'll remember those words. And it's very simple. So when I'm up in front of you again in a couple of months, we'll talk about the other half of the equation. We've talked about kind of the putting off of things and one part about renewal and putting on. Most importantly, there might be someone here this evening who needs to be renewed through one of two things: immersion for remission of sin, or be renewed because you may have wandered from God's Word and would like to be renewed and be starting again to be strong with Him. My old truck, I went in there to get my old truck renewed. Didn't quite work out like I wanted to. I got rid of that truck against my son's objections. But it just didn't quite, it still had that imperfection in it. And if you have that imperfection in your life, you have one chance tonight to make it right. I want you to consider that strongly. And if you need spiritual renewal, we're here to help you. And we want to help you make that happen. It's not been a very long lesson tonight. I've kind of gone fast, but when I start up again in 2 months or 3 months from now, we'll pick up right where I left off, and you'll remember this, I hope. If you need to respond, please come as we stand.